In that case, it's 5.9, the financial reporting package. Mr. Blair, I think you've put the report forward.
Thanks. Chair, I'll give an introduction then pass over to my colleague, Gary. This report includes five reports which were previously considered by Council at the November meeting. Audit Committee is invited to acknowledge the reports, noting that a further update will be presented to the Council and to the Audit Committee in the new year. I also note the comments at the start of the meeting regarding the role and the remit of the Audit Committee in regards to the financial reporting. As stated, Chair, at this juncture I will pass to my colleague Mr Fairley to provide the Committee with a brief update on the five reports. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr Blair. Mr Fairley.
Thanks, Chair. So the reports have gone actually to two cycles of Council. We saw the financial monitoring 17-18 general fund reserves, the capital plan, the housing revenue account, the Treasury Management mid-year report go into November Council, and the financial strategy was last considered by Council on the 10th of October, and I would draw members' attention to the report was published probably as today's gone on, which will go to the Council meeting on the 19th of December. So the monitoring sets out the position, the financial monitoring general fund services sets out the position with general fund services, the projected overspend across services that was reported, and the material variations that gave rise to those overspends, and then consequently the impact that has on reserves. And that results in an available general fund reserve of £2.1 million. The General Services Capital Plan report provides members with an update on the investment decisions that Council has made, either through individual reports or as a consequence of agreeing recommendations and capital plan reports. It highlights the extent of the investment over the future period. Again, that report, we'll see a more up-to-date report going to Council on the 19th of December, and a comprehensive update is planned for the 13th of February Council meeting. Housing and Revenue Account, again, an update on the ring-fenced housing account, progress against budget with capital investment in the existing stock to meet SHQS standards and in the new build programme, and the revenue implications of that, and the impact on reserves. Again, the key issue going forward there is the extent of future investment and future year's rent strategy. The financial strategy sets out our understanding of the budget position for the period through to 21-22. It's based on a number of key assumptions, a critical one which will become clearer later in the week around the extent to which government grant will continue and be reduced or ever the optimist, increased in 2018-19. The change programme and those proposals went to Council on the 10th of October, and we're currently in a period of engagement. The consequences there were that in terms of 18-19 there was a budget shortfall, so that's before any change programme activity or increasing council tax of £13.5 million. The change programme, if members agreed to all of it and increased council tax by 3%, would have reduced that to a small budget deficit of £383,000. Those figures have changed and will be reported to Council next week in terms of the latest position. The figures in that report, the key assumption around grant was a national reduction in grant of 3.25%. We will not know until Thursday, so the report to 19th of December still is based on that, but I'll give Council a verbal update on the 19th in terms of what we understand Thursday's settlement to mean for us. The Treasury Management mid-year report really just looks at performance against the approved Treasury strategy. And Treasury Management, I suppose, two things. One, the borrowing to fund investment over a long-term period, and also the management of cash and cash reserves. So that's really a progress report against the strategy that was approved by Council back in February. Happy to take any questions on any of the detail of those reports, or if members wish to consider them at another time, I'm happy to return and do so.
Thank you, Mr. Fairley. 3 minutes to one. Do we think we need an interim meeting at some point in the new year to look at the financial figures when these have all been updated, as we discussed earlier, or does Mr. Smale?
Yes, just to set the framework for that, my understanding is the critical council meeting will be on the 13th of February, and we're not scheduled to meet till the 13th of March. So this committee would not be in a position to add any value to the critical processes that are happening now in the transformation group and in the council as a whole. So I think there is a good case to have a further meeting of this group to scrutinise the development of the numbers early in the new year.
That said, I take on board the comments earlier that this committee is to govern the governance structure, and given these figures will be going to other council meetings for scrutiny. Is there something? Councillor Parry.
Thanks, Chair. I've just got a question about what this additional meeting's for, because it's quite clear that it seems to be that what's been mooted is out with the role of the Audit Committee, as you've hinted at, and it's the financial strategy decisions are for full council to make. These papers should go to full council, and there's no reason for them to come to an Audit Committee before they're decided on through the due process that's already been identified and clarified. So, you know, I think it was perhaps a bit of a mistake to move this paper, because actually we could have had a really good discussion about it during the meeting and got out the issues that we wanted to get out in preparation for decisions that we'll make in February. If they were so important, then we should have heard them in the context of the meeting, as was per on the agenda, instead of moving them. So I would move against that, and I'm quite happy with the way that the process is set out, and I'm quite clear what this committee is for and what it's not for.
It's very well, Councillor Parry, for you to think that, but the remit of this committee is to be forward-looking. And I don't see how we can discharge our duty without having an extended discussion of these critical papers relating to the finances of the Council, not just next year, but for the subsequent years to come.
Mr. Laurie.
I mean, ultimately, it's a matter for the committee whether they choose to meet on an additional occasion. I mean, in terms of the role of the Audit Committee, and thinking in terms of risk and governance, the primary function is to satisfy yourselves, or indeed scrutinise and question whether the process which is in place within the Council to move towards the balanced budget position in 2018-19 or in future years is adequate, if the governance around that is adequate. That would be, I assume, the intended purpose of such a discussion if the committee decided it wished to have that discussion.
I think what you're saying there is right, Kenneth. It is about the process. It's not about going through the difficulties that we've got line by line and debating the rights and wrongs of them. That's not what it's meant to be about. You know, this audit committee is about making sure that we have all the processes in place to enable us to come to that sort of decision. I've got to say, I was pretty easy. Either way, I wasn't really bothered if we have another meeting. You know, the more the merrier in terms of contributions towards solving our financial situation. If it's a meeting for having a meeting's sake, I'm not quite clear whether it's worth doing.
I don't want a meeting just for having a meeting's sake, but if the elected members of the committee are comfortable that in one venue or another suitable challenge and discussion can be had. If that is not this committee, then I'll leave it to the elected members. Councillor Baird, did you want to say something?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'd just like to echo Councillor Muirhead as well. Be mindful as well of the amount of people that have to come to an audit committee and the challenges that we're having at the moment with the budget. I think everybody's time would be better spent doing the job rather than us sitting here for a couple of hours talking about things that have already been discussed.
Thank you. By my view, Councillor Smail.
It is a structural issue because we have not had a transformation group that has been able to deliver historically, and we have not looked at the mechanisms by which the savings can be delivered, will be delivered, will be monitored. So I would contend that we should, as a forward-looking audit group, have a meeting on the subject of the implementation and the structure of the savings programme for Midlothian Council before the final decisions are taken.
I sense, although I won't put it to a vote at the moment, I sense four elected councillors not with an appetite to have more discussions, and perhaps two, maybe. If councillors want me to put it to a vote, I will. Otherwise, I would suggest that the majority feeling of the meeting as I read it, correct me if I'm wrong, is that there is no point in having a further discussion about these financial figures because that will be covered in other forums. Councillor Smail?
It is not purely about the financial figures. It's about the structures under which we will deliver them. I think we should have a vote, please. I move a vote.
Would you like to formulate a motion on which we can vote? Thank you.
The motion is that the audit committee shall meet at some date to be agreed before the council meeting on the 13th of February to discuss the structure and content of the savings programme and the associated papers relating to the finances of the council for the forthcoming year and the five-year period that has been calculated.
Thank you. In which case, I'll summarise that. Those in favour of an interim meeting before the next, before the February Council meeting? I count two. Those against? I count two, and I see two abstentions. So, interestingly, I asked the question as a non-voting independent chair who has a casting vote if we have a tie. And here we have two, two, and two. Mr. Laurie.
We have the good fortune to have the monitoring officer with us, and I wondered if he might wish to venture an opinion on this matter.
Thank you, Chair. The standing orders simply say that in where the vote is tied, except where it's a matter of appointment, the chair has a casting vote. It doesn't differentiate between the status of the various committees and subcommittees. So in this matter, you would have that. Perhaps a slightly different order is that the schedule of meetings of the audit committee are set by the council. Now, on the way round, if they could recommend a recommendation from this that the council arrange a second meeting, or alternatively that this meeting be part heard, as it were, and continue to a further date, so we're still having the same meeting. But I think technically the audit committee can't. I am a pedantic lawyer and will insist on these things. Technically, this meeting can't set another meeting for itself. It can, however, continue this meeting to another date.
My feeling, if I'm to be independent, is that I should go with the status quo if there was a casting vote situation rather than go with change. And therefore, the status quo is to carry on our agenda and our meetings as currently scheduled rather than to put in an extra meeting. Do we have any other business? Nothing being raised, I'll declare the meeting closed. Thank you, everybody.